We'll begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you guide us now by your Holy Spirit. And for your sake, let him open our hearts, make them receptive to the tremendous comfort which you have given us in your word, and especially your death upon the cross. I pray that the word which we hear this day may become engrafted to save our souls. I pray this in your name. Amen. And I could begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes and also the speakerphone. And service today is coming from the heart and center of God's country. It just doesn't get any better than this. And we're having a beautiful day here, what we call Indian summer, even though it's into November already, where the temperature, I think, is probably already in the mid-50s. The last couple of days it's been in the 60s. And it's that very, very pleasant time of year before the cold winds of winter blow. And we wish you could be here to enjoy this with us. Since you can't be, we invite you to open your Bible with us to John chapter 19. I'm going to be reading verses 19 through 22 and then taking a few of the thoughts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. You know, sometimes the children of the devil don't get along very well together. They join forces once in a while because of their hatred for Christ, which they have in common. But other times they're kind of at each other's throats. And as we've been studying the trial of Christ here, one thing has come quite evident. And that is that there was no love lost between the Roman governor Pontius Pilate and the Jews. I mean, they hated each other. And here Pilate gets in the last lick, and it's a good one. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. Historians tell us that it was common, the common practice of the Romans, to write on a plaque of wood the crime that the person on the cross was suffering for. And then pin it up there, nail it up there, so that everybody that saw him suffering knew exactly why he was there. What terrible crime he had committed. But Christ had committed no crime. And so Pilate didn't write an accusation. He wrote a title. And the title was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this was really quite fitting, because now we've come full cycle. This is the way it all got started some 33 years ago. Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And this was spoken before he was even conceived. And now, as his mother Mary stands at the foot of the cross and sees her firstborn suffering, maybe this title reminded her of the words of the angel, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. A lot had happened during the last 33 years, but this had not changed. Then there's that remarkable happening recorded in Matthew 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." He was born king. This had never happened before. And nothing is going to change that. Not even the cross. Now, this had been witnessed to only the past week. Remember when Christ found that donkey and the colt, the foal of the donkey, and came riding into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And when Pilate questioned Jesus about his kingship, Jesus answered and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." In other words, it's as you say. You're right, I am. "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So Pilate wrote a title, put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Some of the critics of Scripture, of course, point to this section to show the inconsistencies of Scripture, because the writings don't appear to be the same. In Matthew 27, verse 37, the writing is, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." In Mark 15, 26, the writing is just, "The King of the Jews." In Luke 23:38, the writing is, "This is the King of the Jews." And here in John 19:19, the writing is, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." So they point to these inconsistencies. None of the four are exactly the same. Well, you know, it's funny, when skeptics of Scripture look for inconsistencies in the Bible, they always look in the wrong places. They don't look at the obvious ones. Now, the greatest inconsistency would be this, that God says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Then he turns around and promises eternal life to as many believe in his Son. If you want to look for inconsistency, look right there. That's the most difficult one to solve. It's not inconsistent, because Christ is a substitute. But I would point to that before I'd point to something like this. Now, this is quite easy to answer. First of all, why were there differences? Well, all I got to do is read. All I got to do is read. The title was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. So it was written in three different languages. Matthew primarily wrote to the Jews. When he told us what the sign read, he probably, more than likely, translated it from the Hebrew.
Luke wrote primarily to the Gentiles. He probably translated from the Greek. And who's to say that the Hebrew and the Greek were exactly the same? John, all the way through his gospel, had his eyes on the whole world. He probably translated from the Latin. And it would seem like Mark also translated from the Latin, but he kind of condensed it a little bit. You know, Mark is the shortest gospel. This is quite like him. He's not much of a book person. Anyway, as short as he can. The title, Mark says, the King of the Jews. That's it. It's like his gospel, exactly like his gospel. No difference. So there is no inconsistency here whatsoever. The thing was written in three languages, probably not even by the same person. And finally, who's to say that everybody has to quote the whole thing? A lot of times when we quote in our own day and age, we want to take a part of a quotation. We have to quote the whole thing. So there is no inconsistency here whatsoever. And the fact of the matter is that the four gospel writers, the way they quote it, fits exactly into how they've written their gospels and the specific point of view that they have. It's quite consistent with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, the title was written in these three languages, and it was placed on top of the cross, which was located not very far from the city of Jerusalem. And there were hundreds of thousands of Jews, literally from all over the world, that were coming for the Passover. And a lot of them read this title. And when the chief priests saw it, and the rulers of the Jews, they were livid. They were really upset. And the first thing they did was trot off to Pontius Pilate. Don't write the King of the Jews, right? He said he was the King of the Jews. Now this is a dig that really hurt. It really was. And for once, Pilate stood his ground. What I have written, I have written. And it's not going to be changed no matter what. This is it. And here we have another truth of the inspiration of Scripture. I know why Pilate wrote the title this way. It was to take a slap at the Jews. And the shot told. But even Pilate didn't realize the magnitude of what he had written. And his heathen pen was being moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, in his gospel to the Jews, Matthew wrote this, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." When Luke wrote to the Gentiles, he wrote this, "It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail." The smallest little mark, which wasn't even a letter, the smallest little mark in God's law is going to stand, and nobody is going to be able to change it. And there's a severe penalty on anyone who tries the final book of Scripture. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." And so you had the writing of Pontius Pilate, penned really unbeknownst to him by the Holy Spirit. And the chief priests and the scribes and the elders and the Pharisees and the Sadducees can't change a letter of it. And so the words that were written on this cross have resounded through time and through the whole world. Written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. A preview of coming attractions, as it were, pointing to the miracle of Pentecost. And this goes way, way back to the Tower of Babel and the rebellion against God, which was led by the great child of the devil called Nimrod the Rebel. When God had told the people to spread abroad and replenish the earth. And Nimrod led a rebellion against God. We're going to stay here. Let us build us a tower. And on the top of that tower, the ceiling, were the signs of the zodiac, representatives of the pictures up in the stars in heaven, which the people were worshiping at that time. Astrology in full force. The truth had been twisted. And the plan was to rally around this big tower and stay together. God came down to see the tower of man and then foiled their plans by confusing their languages. The people couldn't understand each other anymore, so they had to separate, and they went out into the different parts of the world. The big problem there was that the scriptures were going to be written in the Hebrew language. And if you didn't know Hebrew, he didn't have any contact with the Word of Life. And so the Old Testament history, it zeroes in on the Jewish people. But come Pentecost, the disciples are going to be given this tremendous miracle of speaking in tongues that they had never studied before. And Babel is going to be answered when the gospel goes into all the kingdoms of all the world. And it was prefigured right here at the cross. The title was written in the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Latin. But I believe there's more. Hebrew was the language of the Jews. Greek was the language of the Greeks. And Latin was the language of the Romans. And each of these great civilizations had something to give to the world. A special sort of thing. What about the Jewish people? What did they give to the world? You know, the book that you and I are studying, this book we're living by, just about every verse of it from the human side of things came from Jewish writers. The Jewish people gave the world the true religion. And in this realm, Jesus Christ is King. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, was written in the Hebrew. In Romans chapter 1, Paul looks at the whole Gentile world and he finds the whole Gentile world guilty of sin against God, rebellion against God. In chapter 2, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, looks at the Jewish people. And the verdict is the same. He finds them also guilty of sin and rebellion against God. So you had these two groups, the Gentiles and the Jews, and they're both guilty against God. So what difference did it make if you were a Jew or if you were a Gentile? Well, it made a lot of difference. It made a lot of difference. Romans chapter 3 begins with these words. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Well, what is it? Chiefly, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had the words of God. Now, granted, it didn't do a lot of them any good. It doesn't do any good to study Scripture if you don't believe it. And most of them didn't. But you see, at least they had a chance. If you're lost and condemned, and you don't have any contact whatever with the Word of God, you're done. You don't have any chance. If you've got the Word of God in your hand, then at least you've got a chance. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between having a chance and not having a chance. A big difference. So that was one thing. John is going to end his gospel, or not the gospel, in chapter 20, with these words. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. This book can give you life. And Jesus of Nazareth is the King of the Jews, and he's the King of the religion of the Jews. He is the Son of God, and every verse of Scripture revolves around him. That's what the Jewish people gave to the world. It's the most precious gift you could give. Jesus is King in that realm. It was written in Hebrew and Greek. Well, what did the Greeks give us? Oh, a lot of the philosophers were Greek. And the poets were Greek. Humanly speaking, it's very possible that the wisest people, with only a few exceptions, Solomon, Christ, it's possible the wisest people on the earth, humanly speaking, were from the Greek language, a Greek nation. Their poets are read here yet today. Their philosophers are still studied in our own day. But Jesus is King of philosophy too. And all the science that has come from it, all the wisdom of the world, he's King in that realm too. Proverbs 8. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, and when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. These were the words of Jesus Christ, before he was even conceived and born, the words of the same one who's hanging on the cross, who has the title, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, written in the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Latin. And then he says this, Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So God has made foolish the wisdom of the wise. And all the Greek philosophers and poets without Christ amount to nothing. Absolutely nothing. Colossians 1:16 and 17, For by him
with all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. The Greeks have given us wisdom? Yeah, from a human side of things, yes they have. Colossians 2:3, in whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if you really want to understand wisdom, you go to Christ. He is the King of all wisdom and all science. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Latin, the language of the Romans. What did they give us? Law and order. The Romans had conquered the world. They built roads where chariots could travel with amazing speed. And they could move their Roman legions from one part of the world to the other almost unbelievably quickly. And the Roman legions were the most powerful army in the world. They had developed the Roman phalanx. We've talked about that before. A phalanx that was feared by every country under the face of the earth. Wave after wave after wave after wave, one phalanx after the other, and they never stopped. The Roman army ruled the world, and their court system was the fairest, probably, that there's ever been on the face of the earth. Even though there was a farce, as we saw here, when the Son of God, who never committed a sin in his life, is condemned to die by a Roman judge. But that was the exception, not the rule. Perusing the New Testament, you find out that, I mean, if you were a Roman citizen, you had clout. When Paul was thrown into jail, and later, the ones who threw him in found out that he was a Roman citizen, they were scared half to death. When Paul was being accused, all he had to say was, "I appeal to Caesar." And that settled it. He got his hearing before the highest ruler on the face of this earth. Why? Because he was a citizen of Rome. That's why, a Roman citizen. Paul was born a Roman citizen, talking with the man one time that had bought his citizenship. You could buy your citizenship into the Roman government, but it cost you a pretty penny. It didn't come cheap. One man said to Saul, I bought my way in. I paid a great price. Paul said, but I was born a Roman citizen. That really meant something. It really, really meant something. Law and order. And Jesus is King in that realm too. Son of God is not afraid of a Roman phalanx. And the Son of God is not going to make errors when He sits on the throne of judgment like Pontius Pilate did. It was seen by Isaiah back in chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 20 He covered His face, with 20 He covered His feet, and with 20 He did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And these were the verses that prompted Martin Luther to write the hymn, Isaiah, Mighty Seer in Days of Old. And then the scene unfolded in Revelation 20. John, I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life,
and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So Pilate wrote a title, and he put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And the words still stand. And the enemy was livid at it. I can understand that. But when they came to Pilate, he wouldn't change. What I have written, I have written. And it still stands. We'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords in every single realm. And we thank you for placing our salvation in your hands, you who are mighty to save and control all things. We pray that the words which you looked at this morning, which came through the pen of Pilate, that really were directly from your Holy Spirit, we pray that these words may stay within us forever and always prove a comfort to us in times of our own trials when we're carrying our own crosses. Pray this in your name. Amen.